So let me pray, and we're going to finish up this message series with a message called Awakened to the Harvest. Father, we stand here this morning, and we're ready. We're ready to be those who have sent, in fact, who are sent. In fact, we have, many of us have put it down on paper. Many of us are declaring it in our hearts, with our mouths, that we are South Everett Foursquare missionaries. We know that we're ready. By the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you give us boldness. Lord, I pray this morning, stir. Stir within this church. Stir within each of us, that the stirring would be something that's contagious as we leave these four walls, that we would be contagious in stirring the people around us with passion for you. Let us be igniters of the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 In the 1730s, the Holy Spirit began working in many people's lives and thousands of people's lives all across Europe and British America. And what was happening was there was this realization that it's not just supposed to be this religious thing that a lot of us have treated it as. It's not just supposed to be, I'm going to show up on Sunday. They were beginning to realize, oh my goodness, God is real and He's here and I want personal relationship with Him. And I can have that. And so this caught on in what's called the Great Awakening, the first Great Awakening. In the early 1800s, the Holy Spirit began working in the hearts of many evangelists to get up on pulpits and get up on stages, on soapboxes, on the corners, screaming out this good news that Jesus Christ came and that you can have relationship with Him. And thousands of people would give their lives to the Lord in the early 1800s. This would give shape to our country. Our country and society would continue to get shape in the early 1900s as many of the Christians at the time were recognizing that this Christianity thing goes a whole lot farther than just this Sunday routine. It goes a whole lot farther than just me and Him. In fact, the power of the gospel, the power of Jesus Christ, reaches and stretches into society. And people were recognizing how much social change can actually be brought by the power of the gospel. Now, I've actually heard people say, and this is, how am I going to say this? Yeah, okay. If you disagree with this, I would love to have conversation about it. This is my stance. Some people say that if everybody in the society were to give their lives to Jesus, were to be following Jesus, that there would still be most of the problems that we have today. That salvation in and of itself, that following Jesus in and of itself, would not be effective to bring the change that we need. I'm 100% against that. I believe that the gospel is enough. I believe that if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, that everything else will fall into place. And so as I personally look at the craziness of the society today, if everyone were to actually give their lives to Jesus, and not just that, but if everyone were to give their life to Jesus and follow Jesus, I believe Jesus' economy is far better than our economy. And this sort of concept began gaining ground in the 1900s. Alongside of this social justice push, there was also a component of baptism in the Holy Spirit. There was a pastor named William Seymour who began preaching that we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit and we can walk in the same spiritual gifts that we see in the Bible. And he began preaching this and people began catching on. And people began getting lit up on fire. This guy, William Seymour, goes down to California, starts preaching, and thousands of people start showing up. And they start believing this and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, walking in these different powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thousands now just getting down on their knees and this powerful thing start happening. Signs and wonders, just like we see in the Bible. I was reading some accounts and watching some accounts, and there's an account on Azusa Street, the Azusa Street Revival, where a man comes in with a missing arm, and he prays, and as he lifts up his arm grows out. Are you kidding me? Amen. This is our God.
Amen.
There's nothing outside of the realm of possibility with our God,
that's
period.
Right. That's right.
There was a person who came in who was in an accident. He had chunks of flesh hanging off of their face. Can't remember if this was a male or a female. But it was under some gauze, and as someone laid hand to pray, it was healed. God healed their face. No scars, no stitches, no more blood seeping out. Just fixed, just whole. This is the God that we serve. So this revival began to happen in the early 1900s. In the late 1900s, the Holy Spirit continued to work, continued to stir in another revival-like occasion in something called the Toronto Blessing and the Brownsville Revival. As the Holy Spirit was poured out, people excited and again getting this realization and beginning to put all of these pieces together, personal relationship, effect on the world around me, empowered and sent. All of these put together, this is powerful. I'm not going to apologize that I believe in the whole gospel. I believe from cover to cover that those things in the Bible are possible in our lives because that's the same God. And His word declares that He hasn't changed. Talking about revival. Mass amounts of people coming to know Jesus. Mass amounts of people maybe know Jesus, but now submitting their lives before Jesus and saying, use me. Use me here, use me there, use me everywhere. This should be the song and dance of our lives. Anybody feel like dancing? And as we look back on all of these revivals and these exciting things that God did, I say, it's time. I say, it's time. It's time for this to happen again. I've not done the research with all of my pastor friends to see what's happening amongst different churches and amongst different bodies. I know a few, so I can't necessarily speak to the body of Christ at large at this point. What I can speak to personally, and I can verify for sure, is what I see happening here in this room, here in this church. And I shouldn't say here in this room. What I see and hear in this room that's happening out there, right? We don't want to be in a box. What's happening is that God's awakening us. He's awakening this church. He's awakening us as a people to carry and deliver His heart to the world around us. Let's talk about this word awaken for a moment. Awaken. So physically, we can all relate to sleep. Hopefully we're not participating in that now. Just kidding. I did that meanly over here. Y'all are awake. I know it. I see joy and excitement in all of your eyes. So there's a moment when you're asleep. There's times when you're asleep, and there's times when you're awake, when you're actually aware. As I wake up my daughter back there, that was fantastic. That's what I'm talking about. No, she's fine. That was a squirrel moment. So there's the sleep, and there's the awake, and then there's that kind of hazy in-between where you're not fully aware of what's going on. I took this trip right after high school. We didn't have a senior trip planned, which some seniors do. And what I did was I told my best friend John, I'm like, bro, we got to go to California. So, I mean, 24 to 48 hours later, we're driving down to California. We just do a straight shot from here down to San Diego, and then we take it slow up the 101 and just cruise back. I mean, hey, right? It was that good. And, okay, so the drive down, I'm driving his little Civic. He's in the passenger seat, and he's out. He's asleep. He's not aware of what's going on, right? And I'd seen this somewhere, so I can't take all the credit. But there was this big semi, right? There's plenty of them when you're driving down that freeway. And it's towing a semi, right? So backwards. So I get behind the semi, and he's still asleep. And so I start tapping him, and he opens his eyes, and there's this big semi. I'm like, oh, my gosh, John, right? And he is not fully aware of what's going on. So he starts freaking out, right? He's not putting all the pieces together, right, in awareness. I was with Ben Dixon this past week. He's a pastor at our Mill Creek congregation. And this, it was a funny story. We were sitting in this office. There were a couple other people there. And he has his birthday card. His birthday was November 22nd. And someone put a little phrase in there, and he just started laughing out loud. I love that when people just start laughing out loud, like at a text or something. And then it's even better when they tell you, take note. And he began to tell us why the story was so funny. He was in Turkey, and he was with Pastor Don, who's the missions pastor at our Mill Creek congregation. And he was with another pastor in Seattle. His name is Kiefer. And they're in the hotel room. They're all kind of groggy and out of it. Finally, they pass out, and they've got to be up early the next morning. And so Ben, of course, is up like an extra 45 minutes before everybody else. And if you guys know Ben, this isn't a slam on Ben at all, but he's loud, right? He's just a loud man. And so, I mean, stomp, stomp, stomp. You can't even read the Bible quiet. It's just like, boom, each page, you know. So he's reading through each page, and the lights are on. Kiefer's like out, like hanging out, and he's a big guy, so he's just like taking over the bed and all this stuff. And Pastor Don's starting to wake up. Ben goes over to Kiefer, and he's out, and he starts tapping on him, and he comes to a little bit, and Ben goes, "Kiefer, we gotta go, man. We gotta go. The penguins are coming, and they are mad. They want their rent." Kiefer's like, "Wait, what?" He's like, "Yeah, the penguins are coming, man. They're coming, and they need their rent." Right? And Kiefer just starts freaking out because he's halfway to it, right? Oh, the penguins, right? So someone wrote in Ben's card, "The penguins are coming." Anyways, we're talking about awareness, right? That state of being either fully asleep or being fully aware, being fully awake, and then that state of in between. And my fear is that sometimes, as Christians, we're walking in that in-between. We're living in that spiritual, I'm sort of aware of what's happening, and I'm sort of still asleep. I'm not fully aware to what God is doing around me, right? And as we could tell by the stories, you don't want to look like a fool by not being awake, right? We got to be awake. I believe God is awakening us to a massive harvest. I believe it. As we pray as a leadership team for the direction of the church, we say, "Jesus, this is your church. You are king. Have it all. Lead us. What do you have for us?" And we see him doing incredible things. We see him working in lives. We see him transforming. I'm ready for it. Are you? Amen. It's not the hour to be asleep. This is the hour to be awake. To be awake. Turn your Bibles to John 4 with me if you could. We'll have the scriptures up on screen. At this point, Jesus had been doing ministry in Jerusalem, and people are yielding their lives. People are being baptized, and the Pharisees are seeing all this happen, and it's bringing a lot of attention to Jesus, and it's not time for him to fully reveal himself. So Jesus says, "All right, I'm going to go up to Galilee." If we could show that map. Hey, there it is. And he makes his way up towards Galilee from the Jerusalem, Ephraim area, up through Samaria, and he makes his way to Jacob's well. And he gets there at about noon. And so it's pretty hot. It's a warm day. He makes it there. And one of the things that we should know is that this is not a typical route of a devout Jew. It's not typical. And here's some of the background of that. So during the exile of Judah and Israel, as they were taken to Babylon and Assyria, and then the Assyrian king ends up taking over it all, what the king of Assyria ends up doing was taking a bunch of people from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and Hamath and a whole bunch of other places and transports them into this Sumerian area. And this ends up being just a ragtag group of people, a diverse group of people a mixed group of people, as they would marry together and marry Jews, and it would just become this. And the Jews would end up looking down on them and saying, ooh, they're mixed, right? They're mutts, is kind of the language that would be used. And obviously, them being so close, you still have the Jewish people to the south and to the north surrounding them. So there's a lot of tension there. And so that's not the typical route that a Jew would take. In fact, they would go so far as to avoid Samaria by crossing over the Jordan and going all the way around to get to Jerusalem. You guys see that? Go all the way around. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. He travels right through Samaria. It just goes to show us that the will of the Father is far more important than cultural norms. The will of the Father is far more important than cultural norms. Identify the cultural norms that we live by. And now bring that and judge it with the Bible. Judge it with God's Word. The will of the Father is far more important than cultural norms. As Jesus arrives there at noon, then it comes to this point where the Samaritan woman comes to that well. And not only is she culturally unclean and unaccepted by people like Jesus, but by the time of day that she is actually coming to the well, we could gather that she probably isn't accepted by her own people very well either. She's probably trying to avoid these other people, actually. See, the normal time for a woman to go and get the water would be in the morning or the evening, right? So they avoid the heat of the day. But this woman is going in the middle of the day at noon. And she meets Jesus there. What a divine appointment, right? As he's led by the Father right there at that very moment to encounter this woman. And another point that I just brought up, and as I'm processing through the scriptures, is in your day, don't just go with the flow. Ask for God to show. In your day, don't just go with the flow. Ask for God to show. I think all of our A+ students here in church would be, hey, Lord, use me today at the beginning of the day. Use me, show me what you want me to do today. And we're highlighting those things that we want to keep an eye out for. And then we go throughout our day, and some of us actually even catch and remember those things that God has told us to do. And then we're good, right? And then we pray at night, right? But there's more to it. Right? A fully yielded life is one that does that in the morning and then gets in the car and is praying. And is looking around them. Oh, look at that person. God, what's your heart for that person? We're aware, you see. We're not unaware of what is going on around us spiritually. We're constantly reminding ourselves. It's almost like having like a rubber band. Just keep snapping yourself. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? It's that constant awareness. Don't just go with the flow in your day. Ask for God to show. Expect divine appointments as you do. Expect for it to take place. Because they will. Through Jesus' interaction with this woman, he eventually reveals that he is the Christ. And then she goes, takes this message, takes her story, goes and shares it with a bunch of other people in her city. And what do? They go running after Christ. And I pray that would be our story. That we would have an encounter with Jesus. That we would talk about our encounter with Jesus. And then for the people that we talked about, that they'd come running to Christ. Right? Anybody else want that? Amen. Just say that with me. God, I want that. Oh, Lord, we do. Help us to acknowledge our encounters with you and help us to have the boldness to speak about it. And then send people running to you. Draw them, Lord. Draw them, Lord. Let's read John 4:27 together. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek?" Or, "Why are you talking to her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, See a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and they were coming to Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Eat, Rabbi." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." And so the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest'? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." So in this moment, Jesus is shifting hearts. Jesus is shifting the perspectives of these disciples to see the harvest that is before them. He's saying, "Wake up, wake up. The harvest is ready for you." And I want to share with you just a few observations about this story this morning. The first is this: we got to be hungry for what Jesus is hungry for. So what are we hungry for? The disciples were confused when Jesus was talking to this woman, and then he said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. See, these disciples were physically hungry. Jesus is spiritually hungry. They were thinking, "Man, it's time for some tacos." Jesus is saying, "It's time for revival." His priority was spiritual, not material. His priority was people, not places. His priority was souls, not status. He said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." Is that what we want? Is that what our hunger is for? For people to come to know, him. You know, I have a problem that's consistent across all of my hunger. It's that my eyes are a lot bigger than my stomach. Anybody else have that? Okay. So we'll have feasts like we did the other day, and I'm like, "Hey, yeah, that looks good, and that looks good, and that." I mean, pretty soon you've got the Eiffel Tower on a plate, right? And you get through half of it, and you're like, "Oh my goodness, all right, I don't know if, right, throwing in the towel." But I've realized that God's sent people into my life to help me with that, right? That's what marriage is for, right? Got the cleanup crew over here, front row. Got my wife, my son, baby Gracie soon. We'll see. When it comes to my spiritual hunger, I'm hungering for the things of the Lord. And again, my eyes are just bigger than my stomach. When I see what God says he wants to do here on Casino Road, here in our community in South Everett, it's a lot bigger than I can handle myself. But you know what? God's placed people in my life to help me with that. And I'm looking at them. What are we hungry for? Are we hungry for the things that Jesus is hungry for? Amen. The second observation is this: we must see what Jesus sees. We got to see what Jesus sees. Jesus said, "Do you not say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest? But I say to you, lift up your eyes," and the emphasis is now, "and look at the fields, for they are white for harvest now." Again, put yourself in this position, right? They're standing in Samaria. What Jesus is speaking to is the Samaritan city, right? He's saying, pick up your eyes, look around you, and the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Look all around. This world is in need. Do we see what Jesus sees? Do we see these kids, these future brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Do we see them, or do we see them as, "I don't have time for that"? or I don't know what to say. Right? How do we see these people around us in our lives? And just take a moment and actually think about that. These people, if I was thinking about, my mind goes like in creative places. So I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if we did like a live stream of outside so you could see all the people walking down Casino Road right now and then put it up on screen. It didn't happen. It's a great thought though, right? Just imagine it with me for a second. Creativeness. But just think about that. How do we see the people here on Casino Road? How do we see people in our families? How do we see people in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, in the world? How do we view the people around us? Do we see them as people in need of hope, people in need of a father, people in need of healing, people in need of restoration, people in need of freedom? Oh, we ought to. This is what Jesus is calling us to see. Do we see what Jesus sees? And then finally, number three, we must go to the fields and bring harvest in. Jesus said, I have sent you to reap for what you have not labored. We recognize that within our world today, there is some planting of seeds, some of tilling and preparing the soil. This would happen more understandably in terms of introducing yourself to someone. Hey, my name's Ben. How you doing? What are you doing here in this coffee shop? Right? It starts there. Hey, I live across the street. I've lived here for years, and you've lived there for years, and we've never interacted, so I just wanted to say hey, right? It starts here with building relationship, and then as the Lord would open their hearts and continuing to share a part of our lives and just living on demonstration, right? So preparing the fields, planting the seeds, but what the disciples would have understood was that there are 4 months until the harvest begins, meaning that there's a time later when we'll do harvest. And Jesus is saying, no, we can do all of those things right now. We continue to plant seeds. We continue to prepare the soil. We continue to harvest. It's all done right now by the wisdom, by the direction, by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we got to go. We just got to go. Got to go. I want that revival that we're talking about. I want to see bunches of people. I want to see whole apartment complexes come into the Lord, whole neighborhoods, whole areas. When I think about social change, that's my first thought. Let's see lives transformed for Jesus. Let's see people going after Him and yielding to Him. So this may have brought up a series of thoughts. And Chris, if you could come. And if we could just close our eyes, I just want to have a time of response. And there'll be response for different things. The first is this. Have you acknowledged that Jesus came, that He died on a cross, that He paid the price for your sins, so that you can be in relationship with God? Have you said, yes, I believe that, and I want to be a follower of Jesus? If you have not, or you're unsure if you ever have, would you just allow your eyes to meet mine? And if that's you, we'd love to pray with you at the end of service. Just talk with you about what life with Jesus is like. The second group that I'd like to give an invitation to is those who have this feeling that, man, I haven't been living yielded to God. I once declared that He is my Savior, but I haven't been living like He's my Lord. I haven't been yielded to God. And this morning you're feeling that stirring that I want to be a follower of Jesus, not just someone who's been quote unquote saved. I want to live on mission with Him. If that's you and you're making that dedication this morning that you want to follow Jesus, Let your eyes meet with mine. May it be so. Yeah. Father, we thank you for those responses this morning, God. We thank you, Lord. God, stir up in hearts this morning. Stir up excitement. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd bring us into a deeper level of boldness to be submitted to you and led by you. I've got a bunch of cards here that I've invited you to fill out in previous Sunday mornings that have said, I am a South Everett Foursquare missionary. I am committing to grow as someone who would share the gospel, as someone who would grow in relationship with other people, as someone who would be sent. It's not saying we're perfect. It's saying we're willing to commit to growing. And I just want to start reading off some of these names. And as I would, if you wouldn't mind standing. And I'll have an invitation for people who haven't filled these out yet either. Tyrone. Suzanne. I've got some blank ones here also. Felicitas. Brenda. Mary Reed. Jason Roberts. Paul Roberts. Sue Ann Roberts. Ted Reed. A really pretty drawn one. Denise Tomasi. Tam. Sam. Colleen. Sean. Carol. David. Sam. Amy. Rich. Sheena. Hal. Another pretty one. Ashley. Zach. Adriana. John. Chris. Eric. Chris. And these are just the ones that have filled out. If you want to commit as someone who will represent Jesus, someone who will share your story, someone who will be a sent one, if you're committing to that, would you also stand? Father, I thank you that I'm surrounded by a people who want to spread your gospel and your good news to the world around them. And I pray right now, Lord, I pray against the fear of man, the fear of what anyone is going to think. I just pray that that would leave. In Jesus' name, I pray for freedom on the lips of these followers of Jesus. God, I pray that you would equip them with the words to speak. God, I pray that you'd equip them with wisdom to know when and how to speak. I pray that you'd equip them with wisdom that they would understand the soil that they're working with and the season of that person that they're working with, whether they are tilling and preparing the soil, whether they are planting the seed, whether they are watering, whether they are harvesting. God, we know that you are the one who works in their hearts. And we simply get to be mouthpieces. So as there would be pressure on any of us to perform in any way, God, I just take that off, Lord. Let us be free. Free people who simply declare what is so good to us. I pray that you'd bring back to our minds the transformation that you have brought into our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would pour out afresh on each of my friends here this morning, equipping them, Lord, equipping them to do the ministry that you're calling them to do. Let us be transforming agents in this world. by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let us keep you at the center of it all, your rightful place, Jesus, King upon the throne, getting all of the glory. We're submitted to you. We want you, God. We want you in every area of our life. Help us to remain submitted and humble. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, let's give the Lord a clap. We love you guys. Don't forget to sign up for cookies if you want to bring cookies. And don't forget to grab those Christmas flyers on your way out to hand out to people. We'll see you guys next week. God bless you.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.